Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games by the people, for the people, and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing two Binding of Isaac expansions, the official one, Afterbirth Plus, and a fan-made one, Antibirth.
Yeah, and this is the first episode of season four?
Yeah.
Of the show? Four. Season four. Welcome back, Nick.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff has happened while we're gone, and a lot of terrible stuff.
Yeah, it's you know, the world is shit, but that doesn't mean that we don't want to still play games.
Yep. And we love all you puppers. Yeah. So
a couple real quick admin things.
Sure.
Get out of the way. So astute listeners know that this episode and the next episode on Tyranny were meant to come up out at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a delay in Afterbirth Plus coming out. Or not a delay, but it came out a little too late to make that work.
Right, yeah. We weren't sure of the date until it was a little bit too late.
So those are starting with this. And then for people who were generous enough to donate for Duckstream, one of the things you could choose is to choose a Check It Out, Comrade game for us to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Those start episode three of the season. So we're doing Isaac, Tyranny, and then we're hitting the ground running with Invisible Ink.
Yes.
And then Brigador and moving on. So we're doing the suggested games then. And that'll cover the next like seven episodes or so.
Yeah, so that'll be starting in March.
Yes. So just in case you're wondering where those are at, that's where they're at. And let's get on to the show. Nick, tell us about Afterbirth Plus.
Absolutely. So Afterbirth Plus is the official second expansion to Rebirth, which itself was a remake and expansion to the original Binding of Isaac. And Afterbirth Plus, the primary pull that that Tyrone and Ed were edging this all on was that there was going to be a bunch of modding tools and that they would be releasing sort of mini expansion packs of fan-made content every month for some amount of time after release, and that's going to start this month. So what we're talking about here is what's come with Afterbirth Plus out the gate. There's a lot more content down the way. We'll probably touch on some of that as future episodes come out, just cool stuff that's been added to the game since then. But with Afterbirth Plus itself, there were 55 new items, a new chapter with a new boss, a new playable character, a hard mode for Greed, and some more challenges.
A couple other like minor features.
Yeah, lots of new rooms, you know.
Yeah, new rooms, new trinkets,
new enemies. So lots of little stuff. But primarily a lot of people are real mad about this release, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more, but primarily the mod tools was the point of Afterbirth Plus.
And it's if you read interviews with Ed McMillan, like he's pretty sick of Isaac.
Yes.
Like and I get it, right? Like you make a thing and you're like, why is this the thing I'm known for?
Right.
It makes total sense to me. And he wanted, this is his idea of being able, but it's, but you know, by far like his most popular thing he's ever done.
Absolutely.
And he wants to pass it off to the fans. Like, I don't want to deal with the same way you deal with it.
Exactly.
So it's a super respectable thing. I've looked through some of the mods that are already out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are kind of neat. I haven't messed with them. I've just kind of looked on the Reddit from time to time and saw some people add kind of cool ideas for items, things like that. But as it is, I think a lot of that response, that negative response that you're talking about is one, you know, what's out of the box is this is the smallest. This is like the Wrath of the Lamb update.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the difference, it's not a huge, it's not a lot of extra content. Like,
and it wasn't free.
Yeah. It wasn't free. Which like that will never bother me. Like I will pay, you know, my cent per hour of like Isaac ratio is something like 2 cents.
If that
at this point, yeah, it's really you know it's a lot of entertainment, but it wasn't free and it just wasn't a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
so I think you know we had Wrath of the Lamb, which was this kind of like weird free Halloween update
mm-hmm.
that came out for Isaac, and then everything after that, you know, Rebirth and Afterbirth were both like huge expansions.
Absolutely.
Afterbirth Plus is not that, and I think that's one reason why there's a negative kind of backlash to it. The other one being that it came out right after Antibirth, which we'll talk about. And it's like it's fair and it's not fair, you know, like it's hard because they are selling us on a potential, like they are selling us on this idea of fan-made content kind of coming through. Fan-made like individual little mods through the mods I look through are like less interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take people really putting some effort in to get like good stuff.
But if anything, Antibirth proves that can be significant.
But that was like several years in the like that was like I mean that was huge.
Yeah,
that was like a really big thing. So it's really cool to empower people to have those tools. But it's gonna take. I mean, it's not like it has to be that good,
right?
But there's just a level of polish that is rare for fan made content. Like Anti-Birth is the example of it, you know, and it's cool. Like other people might do that. But there is an element of like delayed gratification to Afterbirth Plus.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of that can kind of account for. It's also something where I think part of the reaction to it, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that's added, but some of the stuff that is added, I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just about a lack of content. It's about some kind of bad content. So we'll go into that and kind of talk about the goods and the bads.
Yeah.
That they added to the game.
And I think a little warning is probably good here. We're going to be talking probably pretty openly about new items and such.
Yes.
There's not really a whole lot to talk about otherwise. It's the same old game you know and love. So
we'll talk about the end game and stuff too. Like there is like plot spoiler stuff.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying that I think that you should essentially count this whole episode as too spoilerific I don't think we're going to be separating off into sections. It'd be a little bit too difficult. So if you haven't played either of these and you want that sense of exploration and discovering these new items yourself, I highly suggest you you probably skip this episode entirely until you've played a little bit yourself.
Yeah. If you care, like I know tons of people who actually just play Isaac with Wiki open.
Yeah, I mean, and I do after the first encounter with stuff. Like, I figure out what it is to the best of my ability, and then I'm like, all right, well, now I just want to get good fun runs. So.
Yeah, it's fun to try to figure it out. If you can't figure it out because some of the things are pretty tricky, mm-hmm. that's fine.
Yeah.
There's also one of the official mods that they considered for the first booster pack, and I don't know if it'll happen, but is the, like, Wiki mod, essentially, the one that just tells you what things do.
Right.
Because that's, you know, and I get it. Like, that's a fun part of the game for me. Like getting a thing and trying to puzzle out what it does. It's not for everybody though. So I get that, you know, some people don't want to deal with that.
So with that, let's see, let's talk about some of the new items that have been added.
Yeah. Let's. Probably the biggest one is tied into the new character.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so we should talk about that. It's the biggest one. And it's also, my favorite thing that's added, which is a new character, Apollyon,
mm-hmm.
And his, item, the Void.
Yes.
And the Void is super cool.
It is super cool. Even if it got a huge nerf, it's still very cool.
Yes.
So what the Void is, it is a spacebar item that allows you to do two different things. One is if you go to a pedestal item and it's a passive item and you don't particularly like the passive effects of it, you can use Void in that room and the pedestal item will disappear and instead you'll get some random stat up.
Yes.
Multiple stats will be, or stat increase, it's a stat change of some sort with a net positive. Overall.
Yeah.
Which is great. It allows you to turn what would be otherwise items that aren't fitting your run or what have you into a benefit no matter what.
It's fantastic. Like at first I thought that the stat up that you got related to what the item was. Because I absorbed a familiar. I was like, oh, I don't necessarily want Brother Bobby.
Right.
And then got a tears up and I thought like, oh, I got the tears that he would have shot. I was like, that's pretty cool. And then I got a random thing and I realized like, oh, this can affect damage because for some reason, like Isaac is always gun shy about adding damage to a thing. Mm-hmm. But there's no damage uphill and there never will be in base Isaac.
Right.
And even the anti-birth version of that has a downside to it as well when you get damage up.
Right.
Pill. But like I was a little confused about how it works, but it's like a super huge game changer. And it, as much as the D6 where like the D6 allows you, makes every item useful. In some ways, this is more powerful than that because the D6, you can re-roll.
Still get another bad item.
You get or an active item.
Yeah.
And this way, so passive items are all gravy. And it's awesome for boss items. Like, I don't want mom's heals. Like, I would rather have a luck up or I'd rather have a damage up or even like a, you know, even if it gives me a range up, which it, you know, it usually wouldn't, but it gives me that it's usually a more powerful and better kind of one.
It also allows you to take a really good advantage of things like there's options because now if you want neither of those items, you now got two buffs.
Getting the boss rush is incredible.
Yeah, boss rush, you get all four of those items will give you a benefit.
Yep.
Which brings me to the second bit, which is that if the item is an active item, I told you what the passive effect is, but if it's an active item, that effect gets added to Void.
Yes.
So if you suck up, say, teleport, now every time you use Void, you will also get the teleport effect. And that is true of every item you get, the charge will always remain the same, but mm-hmm. you'll use all of them simultaneously that you've sucked up to that point.
Yes. And it for good or and for ill, like something, you know, kamikaze, there are things, there's always been bad spacebar items. It's also been debuffed to where like some single use items no longer work. And it should be noted that the item also fires as soon as you suck it up. So there's no opportunity cost. So you can actually, like, let's say you get a very game winning thing is to throw a Book of Revelations on there.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the Book of Revelations, use it once, then suck it up. You get two spirit hearts.
Yep.
Which is super useful.
It's great.
And the idea is you can build like an incredibly potent kind of, you know, room clearing nightmare thing.
Yeah. The
you
know, best like, space bar item you've like ever this, seen.
You know, Krampus's head that slows everybody for, you know, for 6 seconds and poisons them all and creates a big lemon mishap and all these things.
It gives you a dark heart and a spirit heart.
Yes. And a damage up for the room. And like, you know, you can create this kind of mega item. Yeah. And it's really cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah. Like it's a really fun way to play. And it does, you know, we talked about in the very first episode of Isaac that we did for this is that like, they're kind of separate games. Once you get the D6, the D6 introduces this whole like meta element. That's like really fun to fuck around with.
Uh-huh. And this is just more of the same.
Yeah, Polyon does that, you know, as well. And this is to me, like by a mile, the coolest thing this adds.
Totally.
Like
yeah,
if they had
absolutely.
Literally just done this as, and I'm not saying they should have done this, but I think it would have like, if this was like a new character they added for $1.99, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have gotten complaints.
Oh yeah, no, just you know, just the Polyon.
Yeah,
the
Polyon booster pack to like add this new character and add that item in. They added other stuff, and some of which is cool, and some of which isn't. What's the coolest? What are some cool and like kind of disappointing items that you found other than a Polyon in the Void?
So I think the other really cool spacebar item, at least, is Smelter.
Mm, Smelter's great.
Smelter allows you to take trinket items and turn them into permanent passive effects. So
yeah.
There's lots of really good trinkets. You can always only hold a max of two. With Smelter, you can just continue collecting all of the best ones and applying their effects to you. And that's a really cool item that, again, allows you to do some really neat meta stuff with
yeah.
items.
I would be... One of the things about the modding tools is I don't know how to do computer things. I'm not so good at computers, but the I do get like ideas for mod stuff, and I like the idea of a character who starts with the smelter and then like the battery, like things that make it quicker. Mm-hmm. But all of their all of their item pedestals are replaced by like two trinkets.
Oh yeah,
or something like that. Like that's a really cool idea for a challenge run or a character. Like if you know, because there are some really amazing trinkets.
Absolutely.
That's real good. But is there anything else that's like super cool?
I mean, they added like a chain lightning effect.
That's really good.
That's really neat. The bomb that bombs an entire floor.
Mama Mega.
Which we didn't mention this before. There, like I said, there was a big nerf to Void. Previously, it allowed you to use multiple uses of one-time use items.
I did mention that.
Yeah, you did mention that. But how amazingly game-breaking that was really fun for that first week.
It was. I really liked it with. So Mama Mega made it very easy. Mm-hmm. I loved it with. Forget me now.
Forget me now in Pandora's box.
Box, where it's just like, and yes, it's super broken. Like, I mean, I think that you and I have different philosophical feelings on that because, like, for me, I'm into a rare thing that totally breaks the game.
Yes.
If it's rare. And getting, you know, having the Void and getting one of those two items, like Mama Mega maybe comes up a little too often because it shows up in the store.
Yeah.
But Forget Me Now is very rare. And I was cool with that working for that.
I'm with you. I think we just have different barriers of rare.
Yeah.
Like I think that my idea, I think that we talked about on Twitter was for there to be a trinket that allows you to use multiple use items multiple times, one use items multiple times, and so combining that, having that on you or smelting it onto you while you have the Void would allow you to get that effect.
It doubles your charge time or something. Like,
yeah,
there could be a way to do it. I think.
I think there is a way to do it, and I hope that they find a way to do it because I love how broken that was.
It was super cool.
Game breaking runs.
Yeah, it's super super fun.
I don't want everyone to run to be game breaking, but I want game breaking runs to be there and available and super fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, what did you like? I
like those a lot. I like you know, there's a lot of just kind of regular kind of tier effects that are interesting. I really like the booger kind of meta to things, the sinus infection where you can kind of stack up boogers on guys.
Yeah, it's like the bomb one, but not doesn't explode.
Yeah, it doesn't explode, and it does damage over time, but they stack.
Yeah,
and that thing's really great. I really like the Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon Go. The
Pokemon Go
item
is really fun. It gives you like a you know, randomly when you go into a room, you get a familiar or get a possessed enemy.
Like you had the Pokeball and caught him and released him. Yeah.
Yeah.
The finger item's really good too.
The finger is pretty interesting. I have a really hard time using anything that requires me to face an enemy rather than aim at them.
Yeah.
You know.
It's neat though. Yeah. It's just a full on like straight line from this finger will deal damage the full length of the room, just consistently. And all you have to do is point it. So you're firing tears while it's also dealing damage in whatever direction you're pointing. And that's really good for stuff like behind walls. It's like a real powerful invisible tech.
I love Contagion as well. Contagion Owns. Have you gotten that?
I don't think I've gotten that one. Which one's that one?
It looks like it's the Contagion symbol, but it's red.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kill an enemy, the first enemy you hit in a room gets the disease or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And when you kill it, it only happens to the first enemy. When it kills, it explodes in a red cloud that will disease anybody else. And then you take damage over time with it. It's like a really powerful poison.
It just like spreads between all the enemies. That's really neat.
But you have to choose like who you hit first. So like some things it's amazing. Like it like one shots Larry Jr. because it spreads to each segment.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then if you have like just a monster in the room, it's not really a big deal. So it's like really well balanced.
Totally. And if you accidentally hit the monstro first, then all of his little minions aren't gonna get affected because it won't happen until you kill him.
Yep.
That's super neat.
It's very good.
Yeah.
There's some bummers as well. There's like some stuff that I genuinely think is kind of shitty. They added two items that tell you where secret rooms are, which kind of drives me crazy. They have like Yo Listen and then the Houndstooth.
Yeah. The Houndstooth is annoying as shit.
The Houndstooth is super annoying. Yo Listen is not like, it's a little bit more powerful because it also finds tinted rocks and trapdoors, but like they both just, you know, how many secret room finding items do we have in Isaac?
Yeah.
You know, it's like five.
How secret are they anymore?
Yeah, well, exactly. Like everyone knows the way to get them. You can find them through so many ways. And then there's like glaucoma, which is just concussive tears.
It's just another item that gives you concussive tears. There's also what was it? There's an item, the belly button or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, this is the same
mom's
as something trinket. Else.
Yeah, mom's purse.
Mom's purse. So
it's a boss room item. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Like getting that after a boss is
it just lets you hold
bummer.
Two trinkets, except it also gives you a trinket when you pick it up. That's it. That's the only difference.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff like that I feel like is just kind of like a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shade is pretty bad. A lot of the familiars, like a lot of the things that follow you. I was pretty excited to unlock Little Delirium, but Little Delirium is not, or rather Delirious, like the Delirium item, is just a room clearing item. Like it has a cool flavor to it, but it doesn't do very well. Like it's a cool idea, but it's not worth a 12 room charge. And, so there's some things that are not balanced, some things that are not that fun.
Yeah.
With
all that said, though, the greatest thing about this game is just the never-increasing item.
Sure. And that's what I want for mods. And I hope that it doesn't, like, just break things. Like, I hope that if I open it up and then, like, check 20 different item mods just to add 20 new items to the game, they all play nice.
Yeah. You know? I believe that's the intention of the tools is providing a safe way to add these items in ways that don't without crazy combination, you know, super limited thing that comes up only if you have these specific 10 items.
You know what's awesome too, just while I'm thinking about it, the trinket game in this is very good, I think, and the light bulb trinkets are fantastic.
The light bulb trinkets are
that's
cool,
again, that just like changes the way you play the game. The way those work, there's a light one and a dark one. And the light one, you get a stat up if your spacebar item is full. The dark one, if your spacebar item is empty.
Yeah.
So the empty one is harder to use, but you get a better stats up, which makes sense.
It's really good for single room charging.
Yeah, because you immediately
Guppy's
use
head
it.
Is gonna be great.
Yeah, it's really good with Guppy's Head. And Vibrant Bulb is really good if you get a spacebar item you just don't use very often.
Right.
It's awesome, for example, with the Void, because you're gonna be selective when you use the Void.
Mm-hmm.
All the Locusts are really cool, too.
Locusts are really nice trinkets,
good.
Yeah.
And then they added this meta of like trinkets that only do something when you get hit enough times, like the Walnut and the Wishbone.
Right.
I like those a lot.
Walnut was really, the first time I figured out what Walnut did, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That was nice. That's
super cool.
I just like picked it up because it was the only trinket I'd come across, and then all of a sudden it popped and I got an item. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
I like that a lot. So there's some cool stuff. There's, you know, and a couple other minor, items that are kind of added, but 55 sounds like a lot. There's actually 69 of them. 69 sounds like a lot.
Nice.
But it is nice. But it's less than maybe, you know, you want. Like it doesn't make as big a difference to the game as I want it to. Some of the other additions are not great. So like there's a victory lap thing that allows you to kind of keep playing, but it only works in the dark room. Like, right. What percentage of rooms are dark rooms? And the biggest probably disappointment to me is the actual new content, like the new end game. I find the way that Delirium is handled, like, I think it's a fine boss fight. The way that it's handled and the way the stage articulates is a big disappointment to me. The way it handles, so it's, you have to beat Hush the first time to get it. And then after you've beat Delirium once, who's the boss of this new area, a portal to him may open up and he fight after Mom. Which just makes it, you know, if you're going to do a Delirium kill for a character, it makes it pretty tedious because you have to beat Hush and you're doing this other kind of challenge floor with a really huge bullet spongy, you know, boss at the end.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like having to beat Hush to do it.
Yeah, that bums me out pretty good. And the floor is not that great.
Is it is it always there after Hush, after the first time?
It will
time
always
too?
Be after Hush.
And then it has a random chance of appearing
earlier. Yes.
All right. Yeah. It's not as bad as it could be, but it's not great.
It just makes it like, you know, if you don't feel like fighting Hush,
right?
You know, it's kind of a bummer. And then the actual floor is just, it's every room is from a different floor palette,
right.
On the stage and has different enemies. And the effect though, so like, I think that sounds cool in theory. The actual effect means that since you're at the end game, you're just going to stomp through 90% of the rooms.
Right.
And like 80% of the bosses you can run into because you can fight multiple bosses.
Yeah.
There. So it just ends up being just kind of this cursory thing. There's no challenge to it and it's not interesting. You know, the way that I would maybe want it to be.
I almost wish that each, it'd be a little bit too powerful, but I kind of wish that instead of multiple boss rooms, it was every room was a random boss.
I thought
room,
about that
but
too.
There's not enough bosses to really make
it. Well, you just make
work.
It a smaller floor. Like, yeah. you could do that because it's a huge floor too, so it can get very tedious.
Yeah,
to kind of make your
but
way
the,
through
the
it.
Reward for doing that would be a lot of fun because as it is, you get a lot of items from fighting all the bosses until you find Delirium because it's a guessing game. There's a bunch of boss rooms and it's a guessing game as to which one's going to be Delirium. I think it's always matched up with another boss room on the same room, so if you find a room with two boss doors, one of them is going to be Delirium.
Yes.
Regardless, like, you can fight a bunch of bosses and get a bunch of boss pool items to drop. All the floors in between, and it's a massive floor.
They're like random items too. So you get, that's the other thing too, is you're unlikely to get that much more powerful on that point.
True.
Cause it's like, oh, like I went through and I fought Mega Satan and I got Bobby Ba-Bomb, you know,
Bobby Ba-Bomb. My bomb's now running.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this is my first bomb synergy. I now have nine bombs. Like, great. And then the actual boss fight itself, it's kind of, you know, the idea, the lore stuff that it adds, like this idea that like this is Isaac losing his mind. At this point, I'm kind of into, and the kind of weird, like it messing with the static and VHS stuff.
That stuff's pretty fun. And the ending you get for beating him is
really
nice. Like that's a cool
one. But the actual boss fight itself is just kind of a hyperactive, like he can emulate other bosses. Like there's not a lot of imagination to him.
Right. I like all this. I like all the boss sprites.
I like him too. Like the weird white, you know, it's a cool aesthetic. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I wish the floor looked different. You know, I wish it did more things with that scramble aspect to it because it just, as an effect, it just doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So it's cool. Then I don't like any of the new bosses. I don't like Bighorn. I don't like Mama, Ragman.
Right.
I don't like the new champion versions of bosses. Like I don't like Little Horn that just throws the balls.
Yeah.
I think the new bosses are bad.
New bosses are pretty weak.
Just not very interesting. And again, I can't separate how much that is because it was after I played Antibirth, segue, which is like a total conversion in the best way and has really amazing bosses.
I think it's a good time to move
on.
Gary, let's talk about Antibirth.
Yeah, Antibirth is a fan mod for Rebirth, not for Afterbirth. This is meant to be like an alternative to Afterbirth. And this was released on December 20th by a group of fans. Just, you know, they have screen names and stuff that won't mean anything to anybody. You know, not to disrespect them or anything. You can donate to them and I recommend it because it's...
Please donate.
I gave them, you know, $10 because I loved it.
They put in some
Kilburn,
work.
Not Your Sagittarius, and Leather Ice Cream. Ugh. And then they paid for the soundtrack. The main guy who made it did a post. He paid for it out of his own soundtrack and by Mudeth. Paid for it out of his own pocket. And the soundtrack is great. And this is
my understanding. Kilburn is the main developer and Sagittarius was the artist.
And there's, I think this is great. It's really cool. It's modular. So you don't have to, you can play them both. If you download Antibirth, you just have to go into your Steam thing and unclick Afterbirth. Mm-hmm. Once you play Antibirth, and Antibirth adds a lot more items to things. There are a lot of items missing because it doesn't have Afterbirth items. So that's right. It's an alternative set of items.
And it misses some of the balance changes from Afterbirth and on as well.
Like
the main thing, bomb timings are not the same.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's been some tweaks to items and stuff. It's hard to remember exactly what everything changed, but it's like I can tell when watching it that it doesn't feel like Afterbirth.
It mostly does. So like the bomb thing is different. You can't go into deduct with Deals of the Devil. So if you have one heart, you can't take a two heart, which once you get used to it, I think it's fine,
mm-hmm. It's, but it's hard at first. Yeah.
What it adds though is like remarkable. So the items are all, and what it's doing, I think, is philosophically it's throwing out a lot of balance to where like it has that slot machine appeal where some things are just very powerful. It ups the challenge kind of commensurately. With this alt path, which we'll talk about, but some items are just very powerful, but in a fun way. That's not just like, oh, here's plus 20 damage, it's like, oh, like now you shoot icicles, all the stuff with the planet items are really fantastic and really, absolutely, really good. And then this alt path, which is the big thing. So we should talk about the alt path and the new characters.
Yes.
Let's do new characters first, cause it's a little quicker.
And
they're really neat. Like they're very imaginative. Like Apollyon is great, but these are Apollyon level. They're not worse than. So Bethany is really phenomenal. She cannot gain spirit hearts, but spirit hearts charge her or gain charges for her active item. And she starts with an item called the Book of Virtue that gives you little options, like these little blue flames that follow around and shoot. As you kind of gain spirit hearts and gain charges, you can eventually start shooting, 14 shots. They're not high damage shots and they're in a really wide spread, but you can shoot these huge kind of swaths. But the balance factor is that you can't get spirit hearts.
It's shooting along with you. Yeah. So you're just shooting like tons of tiers the entire time. And it's up to 16. Yeah. So you can have 16 fires just like firing with you. Like you had 16 different encircling like Meat Boy level twos.
They die if they get exposed to things, which is a real bummer.
But they do like blue flame damage when they hit.
Yeah, they hurt things a lot, but you want to protect them if you can.
Yeah.
So she can't get spirit hearts though, which changes things, but another balancing factor, because that makes it very hard to get Deals with the Devil, but she has an increased chance of getting Deals with the Angel. So she's kind of made for Deals with the Angel runs. The flames will actually block shots as well. So they radiate at a far distance around you. So they're unlikely, it's not like having infinite from 16 familiars. Shots can still get through, but she's very cool. Like I like Bethany a lot and is, can be very powerful and changes the way you play, which is what I want from a character. It's not half of how much it changes the way you play to play Jacob and Izao, which I would never have thought of this.
This is incredible.
Like it is. So Jacob and Izao are two characters and with everything that entails, you can hold down a button and control them independently. They each get a spirit, or they each get an item. They each manage their health differently. You share money, keys, and bombs. But whenever you drop a bomb, you drop one for both of them. And it's a real trick is to keep them. If one dies, the other one dies. So
So you have to keep them both alive and equally powerful health pool wise
and together. Like you're managing two different people. The balance. So it's very hard to play as Jacob and Izao. The balance part though is you're starting with two characters worth of damage and Izao starts with like a high damage.
Yeah, he's a buff. He's like a Judas, he's all right? Like
Judas. So you start you're starting out very powerful. But you have this mind fuck as you're playing that's like very, very interesting.
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of cool shit like this because you can grab if there are two items ever.
Yeah, there's options.
You can grab both of them and get them both. Which is really awesome. You can do that with Boss Rush and things like that as well. There's lots of cool things you can do with it, essentially. It's hard, but it contrasts the way that Jacob and Izao is hard versus how the Keeper is hard or how like the Lost is hard. Like it's really imaginative in the way it's tricky.
Right. It's mechanically and mind-fuckingly difficult instead of like, oh, now I have less health.
Yeah, just like just giving things more health or less health. Like it's more imaginative. And I think that there's, I haven't messed with it, but Antibirth is supposed to have a better co-op, which I think is the Isaac co-op I always wanted, which is just two Isaacs.
Two Isaacs.
Yeah, not, right. not a baby.
Which it sounds like, I think Ed did a Twitter poll after Antibirth came out and after after Plus came out. And he was like, what would you prefer out of a co-op? And I think that it might be coming with once Antibirth gets put into Afterbirth Plus, possibly.
Yes, all this stuff is going to get kind of modded in. And one thing you can say for Edmund, as much as like, you know, he made this thing that like is imperfect, is that he's like really listening to the community about it. You know, so absolutely. He's just like, yeah, like, you know, we want to add this stuff. You guys like this better? Great. You know, and he admits when he kind of fucked up. One of the things he talks about is how he did all his playtesting with like people who are like full time streamers and stuff.
Yeah, skilled. Yeah. At the game.
So like stuff like you know, getting to Delirium or things like that, or the kind of like kind of lower powered items made sense because all they wanted was additional challenge.
And I think that was especially in reference to the portals, yes. Which got an immediate nerf.
Yes.
Which we didn't talk about, but there's like spawners that show up on every floor, yes. Now in Afterbirth Plus. So.
In Antibirth, the other big addition, which is again like game changing, is this alt path. There's a main path through the game, but if you have a certain resource at the end of every level, you can go into the alternate version of the basement. The caves or, you know, the caves and the the whatever the third one's called,
depths.
Which is the drowned or the drowned flood, the flood, what's it called,
something like that.
You know, the mines, and then the catacombs and not the sepulcher either. God, why can't I remember this? Necropolis. And they're very strongly themed, have entirely new enemies, entirely new rooms and puzzle styles, and totally new bosses. Yeah. And I think it's 100% a win. Like, I like all of those floors.
The floods one is especially also really fucking pretty. Like, they added an entire new effect of reflection of everything from the ground. Yeah. Like, they did incredible work on this.
And
shit.
The enemies have this kind of theme where a lot of them are kind of waterlogged and will like spit water that goes up in the sky and falls on you. All the bosses are really good. So like, you know, like the Rainmaker, who you run into there, like just plays very differently. The mines bosses are incredible. The mines, everything's pretty tanky and hard because everything's made out of rocks. There's lots of lava.
Right.
But you get to the enemies and you have Great Gideon and Hornfell. And Hornfell is this like little cute bomb guy who's in a mine cart, and his whole boss arena is full of mine carts and tracks. And he kind of does these like bombing runs on you, and you have to hit him, you know, while he's doing so. He does all kinds of cool shit. He will send out like a decoy version of him, and if you shoot the decoy, it explodes into troll bombs. You know, just a lot of really, and then he eventually gets off his mind and then just tries to run away, and he's super cute. And if you kill him before he runs away, you get a bomb related item. You know, there's all these kind of like really cool things like that.
That floor is a cool thing it added to with bomb spawners with bombs that you pick
temporary
up.
Bombs.
You pick them up and you have to throw them. You have to press a button, otherwise they just blow up in your face. You can't add them to your bomb pool.
Yes. So they kind of make puzzle rooms based on these things. Or Tough Twins, like the boss that
you have to use them.
They're armored unless they get blown up. And then the Necropolis is all about like the undead and like raising dead, and then teleporters. There are all these like little teleport panels that teleport you, and each floor has like a separate island floor that like is hard to get to. There's like a puzzle or like a resource you have to use to get there, but if you get to it, you get like a bonus curse room or a bonus item room or a bonus shop or something like that. It's very good. Like if you do all of the, this is how they do the alt path. So rather than just being again based on, well, you just have to do Hush, you know, to get to Delirium. If you do all this alt path, then you get to the corpse, which is a fourth alt floor, which is like the next version of mom's belly or mom's heart or whatever. So you get to end up in this alt path to get to the actual alt boss, and the alt path is really huge. Like they all have really strong themes. You talk about water and bombs and teleporting necromancy. You get down to the body, which is all about poison. So they have this mechanic where there are poison clouds where if you stay in them long enough you get hurt, but you can move through them quickly. Just really new stuff. And then you get to the actual new boss, the Witness, which is again really cool. It's not like, you know, because Delirium feels a lot like Hush to me.
Yeah. he's just really tanky, but he makes use of a bunch of other bosses.
Lots of bullet hell stuff. You know, lots of the witness does. It's zoomed out, so it's a huge boss, and it actually, you know, you become very small in this boss arena, and it's still a bullet hell, but it's like a really interesting bullet hell. He puts like little turrets that do brimstone things in circles that you have to like juke around and stuff. It's just very, very awesome. And just, again, really imaginative, like a totally different thing. And then, yeah, it's very impressive to me.
Antibirth seems like very inspired by Gungeon. It seems like it's bringing a lot of Gungeon-style stuff to Isaac, especially with the combining items to get to the final floor to make the knife. That's, you know, that's what you're doing in Gungeon to create the gun that kills whatever it is. And then also that last boss seems like it follows a lot of patterns of bosses from Gungeon that are a little less bullet helly and a little more pattern recognition for the bullets. You know, it's not just a bunch of bullets coming at you and you have to weave between the paths, but rather you have a specific the final boss of Gungeon especially is like that, with the different loops of brimstone is something very similar to what happens in the final boss of Gungeon.
I can see it, you know, as kind of a an influence. You know, and I don't actually know the development time. It's like when this started working in relation to when Gungeon came out, you know, Gungeon was working, but they have some stuff in common. You don't have and it is tougher. Like the alt floor stuff that we're talking about, that I think is very neat, is harder.
Yes.
But I still don't. It's still Isaac, so you still get health pickups and stuff.
Right.
Like it's not. I didn't find it like Gungeon hard.
Oh no. Yeah, you know? I don't think it has a difficulty level, but I feel there's a lot of mechanical similarities between the two.
I think that's probably true. The items that you get as well are just like. Are bonkers. Like they do a lot of stuff that is just very, very cool. The sword, you can get a sword.
Yeah.
And now you have a sword and you swing it. And there's a challenge called Isaac's Awakening where you start out with a sword and shield and it totally changes the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's very like, it's very brave.
Well, and they also add, one thing that I kind of expected to be an Afterbirth Plus and wasn't, with the school bag.
Oh yeah,
the one that allows you to have two spacebar items.
That's like such a cool game changer.
Yeah, huge.
Birthright is phenomenal. Like it's an item that you unlock that does different things depending on the character.
Oh, really?
You're playing on Birthright is very cool. If you've watched NL play, he doesn't know what it does, so he doesn't pick it up when it would be awesome. But like it's a really powerful shop item, and you have to defeat Blue Baby as Jacob and Ezau, so it's hard to get.
Oh, okay.
But you get so Isaac. When you pick it up, every time there's an item pedestal, there's another one. So it's there's option for every item pedestal that ever appears. Kane gets a golden key at the beginning of every round. Judas gets a bigger damage. Whenever he uses any book, it does Necronomicon.
Wow.
No matter what the book is. The Lost removes all HP upgrades from the pools.
That's amazing.
That's really, really good.
Jesus.
And then Jacob and Ezau, whoever picks it up, gets a copy of every item that the other one has.
That's so good.
It's
why are these guys so smart?
it's really clever, right? Like it's very powerful, but again, that's okay because it doesn't show up that often.
Right.
You know? Have you seen the red key?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It does the other two items I want to talk about, and I know I'm going long on this, but like so first of all, because it's simpler, I'm sure you've seen Mom's Bracelet, the thing that lets you pick up and throw rocks.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That is cool.
Like that's such a cool like
Yeah.
The red key creates additional rooms on the floor you're in. So if you go to a wall in a secret room and use the red key, or you'll see if you're holding it, you see little outlines on the wall.
Right.
If you go up to it and use the key, it creates a new room. And you can kind of keep going to this, like into this thing. And if you go deep enough into this, like rooms that weren't there before, it creates like an item room or a library or something like beneficial, but it makes the room's not there. But if you have the red key, you create new rooms. Like it procedurally generates new floor.
That's amazing.
It's super good. Like it's really, really creative and neat. It's like playful in a way that like, I just really, really like, you know, I mean, it's got its bud, you know, kind of duds and stuff. Like there's another version of Peeper's Eye that kind of pops through. There are some things that are not super powerful.
Right.
But there's just so many things that are just very interesting. So
I haven't seen this one, but I'm just looking on Platinum God, and mm-hmm. Rock Bottom sounds amazing.
Rock Bottom is really cool. Like, that's a really creative item.
It's an all stats down, but then at that point, your stats can no longer be reduced below that level.
Yeah, ever.
Or just at all. So every negative effect that an item would give you, you just get the positives from it now. That's amazing. Which would be,
I wonder, like, I wonder if, yeah, I think it does. I think that Afterbirth, Antibirth would have Libra. I bet you that'd be really good with Libra.
Yeah, or fucking Soy Milk.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Soy Milk would be incredible.
Holy shit, Rock Bottom plus Soy Milk would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be game breaking. I love the R key. Which is a single-use spacebar item that restarts your run, but you keep all your stuff.
Yeah,
it just goes back to the beginning of the game. And that's how I beat, when I did beat Blue Baby with Jacob Niesau, that's how I did it.
That's really cool, yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't have done that either way. So it is like that kind of...
that's what the fucking victory lap should be, too.
Yeah, exactly. They add like new hearts, like they're the Rotten Hearts and the Holy Protection hearts are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Magic Skin is a really cool item because it adds broken hearts. Like if you use Magic Skin, one of your hearts, heart containers can never be filled.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets rid of it permanently. Like you can never get health, but it gives you an item. But once you start using it, it shows up more and more. Like it's haunting you.
Oh, wow.
it's super good. Like it kind of breaks my heart how good it is.
Yeah.
And I really want it to, you know, I really want all this stuff to show up in and have it all kind of together.
Yes. And I think that that's the main point that I really want from Afterbirth Plus is if they're going to lay down that this expansion is giving it up to the community, then the best way to show that would be to take this amazing highlight of literally the best content the community has ever produced and bring it all wholesale into the game. You know, no questions asked. Like I think that everything should come into the game, every item, every character, every floor.
Yeah. I would really love that.
I believe that it all deserves to be melded together into one cohesive, amazing product. And Jesus Christ, would that keep this game running for many moons?
Yes. I think without too much of an exaggeration, that I think this is the best fan content I've played.
Oh yeah.
Like amateur, you know, not amateur because that includes like a lot of indie stuff, but like actual just, you know, a fan, you know, tribute to something that's bigger. This is the most impressive one.
Yeah.
I've done. I really love it.
Mm. Yeah. I agree. Yep. So yeah, guys, I think that about wraps it up for the new Isaac content we've got for 2016-2017. So some admin stuff real quick. As always, if you like the show, ratings and reviews on iTunes, you can, if you've got suggestions, you can hit us up on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or Twitter at comrade podcast. It's been a while, Gary. I'm losing it all.
It's true, we're rusty.
And checkitoutcomrade.com, there's a contact form. All of those are great. And of course, if you would like to support us more directly, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can support all the shows on the network, many great shows. And you can join us on the Slack and talk to us directly if you have suggestions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'd really appreciate that. So I think that's all about all we got.
I think that's about it. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time with some tyranny.